2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Matt Biamonte is with me. Alex is on vacation. The NBA draft is upon us. And, of course, the Utah Jazz are picking 30th. That's like last, right? And they didn't even win the whole thing. That just doesn't seem right. But right now, we'll talk about that later if anything happens. They may trade. Who knows what happens with the Jazz. But for right now, we have Bill Riley, my broadcast partner on the Utah football games. Of course, he is the voice of the Utes in RSL. RSL is soccer, right, Bill?
It is, Scott. And speaking of soccer, the U.S. is leading Qatar in the Gold Cup semifinal in stoppage time, 1-0. But I'm sure you knew that.
Of course I did. I'm riveted to that. All right, so we were just at the Pac-12 media days in Hollywood, California. And I'm really curious, like, what was the thing about this upcoming season, or what you experienced at Media Days? What was the thing that was like most impressive to you?
I think the theme of the day was everybody was just thrilled to get back to normal. I mean, everybody I talked to came by. They were like, man, I missed this a year ago. Even the coaches, some of the coaches that don't like doing the media were like, man, it's even good to see you guys. I took this for granted. This was great. So I think that was one of the themes. I think everybody's just happy that, you know, we've got some relative normalcy coming back to the season. The other thing is, I think people, you know, obvious with the obvious, you know, realignment stuff, but within the Pac-12 itself, I think people, there's not a definitive best team. I mean, I don't think that there's, you know, I think USC and Oregon were picked to win it, but when I was talking to people, no, you know, USC, they get picked almost every year. Most people love Utah. They just want to see how the quarterback position plays out. I think a lot of people really like Oregon because Cristobal's done a really good job up there, but they've got quarterback questions too. You know, Anthony Brown might be their quarterback. This was a guy that lost his job at Boston College. Then you got Washington. You've got USC with questions still. You got the cloud hovering over ASU. So I think, you know, the kind of theme for me was people are expecting a really good year of football in the Pac-12, especially because there's so much production returning in the conference.
Bill, after talking with players and coaches, is there a team or a vibe from a team where you feel like they could surprise people this season in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I think, Matt, that there's kind of one for me, which I always thought going in, but I think the overwhelming one is UCLA. They even got a vote to win the Pac-12 South, which I think is very generous. but Chip Kelly's kind of been building this thing. And, you know, last year and, you know, the year before with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, they've had good players and he's made big plays, but they haven't been able to stop anybody. But I think there's a sense with Chip Kelly entering kind of his fourth year down at UCLA that, you know, maybe this is a year where they're kind of a surprise team. Maybe they don't win the South, but maybe they beat Utah, or maybe they beat ASU, or maybe they knock off USC. They're kind of a spoiler on the rise. So I think kind of that wild card team that most everybody was looking at and are kind of curious to see how things pan out is UCLA.
Yeah, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson was a great interview, and there are a lot of really good quarterbacks in the Pac-12, and most of them are really in the South. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm trying to think of the North. Maybe at Cal might be the most.
You don't like Jared Garantano, the transfer from Tennessee?
Well, he's not my top pick. Let's just put it that way. But these guys are impressive. You know, some of the, you know, these players, and just talking to them, and it seems like, you know, it might be, you know, I may agree with you a little bit, Bill. Just UCLA may be one of those sleeper teams for sure. I was super impressed with Carl Durrell at Colorado, and just his demeanor and how he talks about his team and building a culture. And he did a tremendous job of kind of turning things around there and turning a corner, because Colorado could be a good program. It just kind of needs to find itself a little bit. So
yeah, I mean, it has been in the past. I mean, it's got a good tradition when McCartney was there. They had that one really good year under Mike McIntyre. You got to remember, too, Scott, remember, he didn't get to even meet his team as an entire group in person till the end of September. I mean, he was on the job six and a half months after that weird departure by Mel Tucker. But, I mean, he didn't get to have a full team in-person meeting till September.
See, OTAs and spring football, all that stuff's overrated. You just, like, let's just lace them up when the season starts. It's time to go. Let's just do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just get out there and play.
So, new commissioner, George Kaliakoff.
I don't think that's
right. Pretty good. You couldn't say that on my show today. That's you've gotten better.
Well, I because he asked that you call him George K or Commissioner K. So, I was going with that. What was your take on him?
I liked him. I mean, he was much more personable, much more direct than Larry Scott. Always felt like he was trying to dodge everything you were saying. I mean, he, you know, you never felt like you were getting a straight answer from Larry Scott whenever you talked to him, from year one all the way to last year when he knew he was kind of on his way out. I like Kaliakoff because he's a guy that's pretty direct. He doesn't dodge anything. He didn't act like, you know, the sky's blue if it's, you know, raining a little bit. He knew there's a lot of issues. He knew he stepped into a pretty big spot in his first month on the job. And I liked the fact that he would answer questions and he didn't try and avoid things. So, you know, to me, that's a good first step. When you're in a position like that, you know, answering questions that are asked to you is always better than trying to dodge them.
He mentioned that the quality of play has to get better. I'm curious, how, you know, is it the teams have to get better, or are there things that the commissioner can actually do that, you know, make strides and really help out these schools in the conference?
Now, all the commissioner can do is create revenue streams and help create situations. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the coaches and players. I mean, George Kaliakoff can't, you know, he can't directly help Kyle Whittingham, but he might be able to create a preseason matchup in Las Vegas that features Utah against, you know, Florida in a one-off game for national television. You know, the commissioner can help you there. The commissioner can help bring more money into the league with better television deals and other revenue streams, and that puts more money in the pockets of the schools, and that allows the schools to improve facilities and recruiting and everything else. So, but I think what he was talking about with that was the Pac-12's got to, you know, when it's presented opportunities, it's got to take advantage. Bill, you know, if Oregon's going to the Big House, they've got an opportunity in front of them. You got to win a game like that from time to time. You can't come close. I mean, when was the last time the league won a really big out of conference, non conference, early season game? They really haven't. They haven't done a lot of that. So I think maybe he was alluding to that.
Bill Riley's our guest for a few more moments here on KSL's Unrivaled. And one thing I thought was interesting from Commissioner Kay was that committee has been formed to kind of just look at everything that is happening in on the football side of things. If there's one thing you think could be changed or tweaked, what would it be, Bill?
Oh, man, that's a good question, man. I think they've got to put themselves in better position to get more eyeballs on games. You know, there was that crazy idea of being kicked around, and I don't think it's super crazy. You don't want to play a lot of 9 a.m., 10 a.m. kickoffs, but doing one every now and again. I think the league's just got to do a better job of getting eyeballs on the league itself and creating, you know, maybe that's better TV deals. You know, maybe that's partnering up with people that will put you in better spots. But to me, that's the first thing, because there's a narrative out there, which I always think is lazy. Oh, the Pac-12's not good. But no, that's not true. In fact, I would tell you, behind the SEC and the Big Ten, I think the Pac-12 top to bottom is the third best conference in the country. Now, that's not saying much now that the Big 12's falling apart. But because the Pac-12 hasn't had consistently a team in the playoffs, and Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, somebody like that, there's this narrative. But part of that narrative comes because a lot of the best games in the league are being played when people are starting to go to bed on the West, on the East Coast, and Midwest. But if people saw more of the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 network might have been more accessible, or if ESPN or if Fox or somebody like that might have put some of those games in better time slots, people on the East Coast and the Midwest and the Southeast might not have that same narrative. So I think that's one thing that the commissioner and the ADs and coaches and administrators probably got to get to work on.
Yeah, Coach Whittingham would love 9 a.m. starts. I know. He's like, get me out of this hotel. Let's go play.
Oh, he hates it. Yeah. He'd play it at 7 a.m. He's like, I don't care. We'll put him to bed at 7 the night before, and we'll go. We'll play pretty much anywhere.
All right, one last thing before you go. How legitimate is this quarterback battle at Utah?
I think it's legitimate. I know you're giving the lean to Charlie Brewer, and I think that's right. I mean, I think Charlie having a full spring, I don't think the comparisons between Brewer and Bentley a year ago are accurate. They're two different guys, two different quarterbacks. Charlie comes in with a much better resume than even Jake Bentley had. Bentley lost his job at South Carolina, and Charlie Brewer never lost his job at Baylor. Started for 4 years. But I think it would be wrong to completely underestimate Cam Rising, because we did that a year ago, and I was part of that. I said, come on, the veteran guy is going to get this job. You know, this guy's never taken a snap. I think Charlie Brewer has an advantage because he's played 4 years of high-level football. He's made a lot of starts and a lot of big games. But I think Cam Rising, with the familiarity in the program, clearly he's an Andy Ludwig guy. I think he's going to have a real chance to win it. But I think he's, if we're handicapping it, I think he's playing from behind right now. I think Charlie Brewer's probably got the lead, and Brising's really going to have to do something special to win the job.
There he is, folks, the voice of the Utes and RSL, Bill Wright. Thanks, Bill. We'll catch you soon.
I'll see you soon. Good to have you. I'll be on with you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, we're going to take another break here. And guess where we're going next, Matt?
We're going to Tokyo.
You know it. That's Japan. I know it's crazy, but that's how modern technology is. We're going to take a break. We come back. We've got Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV live from Tokyo.
It's 7:30 right now at KSL News Radio. I'm Adam Small with KSL's Top.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.